We're just grateful for worship. Amen. So I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. You know, everybody needs a word from God. Is that right? Everyone needs a word from God. In these recent years, in these recent days of my own life, I just relate with the psalmist when the psalmist says, "Oh God, be not deaf to me, lest I be like one who goes down to the pit. Lest I be like one who's dead if I don't hear from you." I need to hear from you, God. And everyone needs a word from God. Everyone needs a word for every situation, every circumstance. We need a word. And yes, we get that through the Bible. We get that through Scripture. But sometimes just through the principles of Scripture, and we're off and the Bible's not even open, God wants to come and encourage you with His Word. And He wants to speak to you, not just from back then, but for right now. Whatever I need, in whatever moment that I need it. I don't know if I could get through this little bit without just really weeping. But when my grandbaby fell, when Fritch fell on December 21st, 2017, and had the brain bleed. I don't know if you remember that. And you prayed, but it happened in the middle of the night, or it happened in the night, and then the surgery is in the middle of the night. And we got home about 3:30, and we had a little bit of good news, but a little bit of uncertainty, and wouldn't know anything until the MRI the following morning. And I was just distraught, and I just felt like God was silent. And we got up in the morning, and his big sister was with us, and we were going to head on back up, and still hadn't gotten any news, and I just felt like God was silent. Have you ever felt that? God, where's your voice? I need to hear you. And I'll never forget this as long as I live, but I was coming up to our second gate, and I stopped at the gate, and it was about 10:30 in the morning, maybe a little earlier, 10:15, and I just screamed it. I yelled it, and I said, "God, I need to hear from you. Why won't you say something? Why won't you speak?" And as clear as day, I just want to tell you, it's as clear as day. This was the word. Quit acting like and living like this child is dead. This child is alive. This child is, this Fritch is certainly alive. And this relief came over me. And I just want you to know that the word ministered to me. That word in that moment ministered life to me. And about 15 minutes later, she called. Ashley called and said, "He's going to be fine. He's going to be okay. No stroke, no permanent damage, no brain damage. He's going to be fine." You know, I'm going to say this. Everyone needs a word from God. Everyone needs it. And you're here today, and I don't care if you're having a really great season, you still need to be hearing from God. And if you're in a bad season or a hard season or a difficult season, God wants to speak to you. Everyone needs a word from God. We all need it. And this is the kind of God that we have. He's the God who speaks. And I don't just have to open the Bible to hear Him, because the Spirit of God lives within us, and He woos us, and He speaks to us, and He loves us, and He blesses us. And yeah, I know sometimes it can be confusing, whether it's my mind that's thinking it or is it God telling me, but I just want you to know, whatever it is and whatever it might be, everyone needs a word from God. We all need a word. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to speak to us, that God wants to show us of Himself and in moments that just we really, really need to hear. I think about scriptures like Matthew 4:4, where Jesus told the enemy, "Man does not live on bread alone, but he lives on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." It's what we live for. It's what we live out of. It's what we live on. Everyone needs a word. I think about the scripture in John 17:17, that God's word is the truth. And that truth transforms you. I love Psalm 19:7 that says God's word restores your soul and it makes you wise and it rejoices your heart and it gives light to the eyes. I love Romans 12:17 that says that a word from God will bring about faith. That faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. That's why everyone needs a word from God. And we need it from the word itself or the written word, but we also need to hear it from other people's lips. That's why we have community. That's why we have gifts amongst the body. Everyone needs the word, guys. Everyone needs to hear God. I think about 2 Timothy 3:16 that says that God's word is God-breathed and it will teach you about everything. It'll show where you lack, it'll correct you, it'll train you, and you become an adequate minister equipped for every good work. Everyone needs a word. Let me ask you a question. Are you going through something today that you said, yeah, you're right, I need a word today. I need to hear from God. And I want to tell you, when you go through scripture and you look at things through the word of God, I do this often. I go to the word and I look at it and go, man, everyone needs to hear this. Everyone needs to hear this. And that's how this has been for me over the last several weeks as I've turned over in my mind and my heart, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Go on and turn there. The first three verses. I've been thinking of this word. I've been talking about it to some of you. Some of you have heard it. But yet it's a very powerful, powerful word that I believe everyone needs to hear. Now let me just give you a little context here. Isaiah 1 through 39 is generally prophetic words to the people of God who have not been following God. And Isaiah 1 through 39 speaks of judgment. It speaks of exile. It speaks of consequences of sin when we stiffen our neck and harden our heart to the things of God. Let me ask you a question. In your Christian life, have you ever stiffened your neck to God? Have you ever hardened your heart to God? If you haven't, come see me. I want some of what you got. Do we do it as often as we used to? No. No. But we've all been there. And we've suffered the consequences of our sin or our choices. Is that right? We've suffered them. If we've walked in anger and bitterness for 3 or 4 weeks or 8 weeks or 9 weeks, nothing good really happened during that week. We suffered the consequences of it. And so Isaiah 1 through 39 speaks of the consequences of sin. It speaks of exile. It speaks of a prophetic word that's not good. But oh, Isaiah 40, it's like just spinning around on a dime. All of a sudden it changes. And all of a sudden this God starts speaking of restoration and redemption. And starts speaking of Jesus and who Jesus is going to be and what the Messiah is going to come to do. And it's this awesome, awesome word that's been encouraging me that I've been hearing day after day, week after week over the last month or so. And that I want to share it with you. And so I want to read it. And this is just, I just believe this is a word that everyone needs to hear. It's a word that we can live on. It's a word that can encourage you today. Notice what he says. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her, now watch, that her warfare has ended. That her iniquity has been removed. And that she has received of the Lord's hand double, and watch this, it's double blessing of all the sins she's ever committed. And in this word, you've got actually five words. Two are imperatives. And this is what some folks think. Do you remember when, in the beginning of Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah chapter 5, that God's just talking about, who will I send? And Isaiah pipes up, here I am, send me. And so this is the two imperatives. He's talking to, some people think, a heavenly council, which could be good. It could be right. You know, the warring angels. But others think that he's talking to prophets and priests, people of God. And this is what he says to them. He says to them in an imperative way. You know what an imperative is, right? When I tell my child, when my children were little and I told them to clean the room, that was an imperative, okay? That was a command, all right? That's what an imperative is in the language. It's something that you're told to do, okay? And so he says, listen, he says to leadership. He says to the people of God, you comfort my people. Comfort them. Comfort my people. Oh, comfort my people. And he says it twice. That's the first imperative. He says, you go and give comfort to a people. Now watch this. Think about this. Who really don't deserve comfort. From all the things that have gone on in their lives. All the things that they've done. All the things that they heard from me and yet said no to me. I'm saying comfort them. I'm saying bring them comfort. I'm saying bring my people a word of hope. A word of hope. Now it's interesting. This word has some meanings that's just not comfort. It means to be sorrowful, to repent, and then find the great consolation and comfort of God. Now let me just say something about comfort for just a moment. Comfort is immaterial unless you need it. Is that right? The whole thought of comfort has in its context that something's been bad or something's been hard or something that's been lost that I need comfort for. And that's what he's saying. Listen, you look the context of your life. You look at where you've walked. You look at what you've done. You look at where how you've lived and then how that has brought. Sometimes it's brought pain to other people. We see it all the time. We see where a husband will bring pain to the wife, or the wife will bring pain to the husband. We've seen that through behavior, or a child will bring pain to the parents, or the parents will bring pain to the child. It's what we call wounds. We call just hurts. And so there's this hurt. And for Israel's sake, it's something that they did themselves. And he comes along and says, I want you to comfort them. I want you to come and bring them consolation. I want you to come, and this is just Fritcher language, and this is my heart language. I want you to tell them, it's going to be okay. It's just going to be okay. God is a God of life, a God of restoration, as we talked last week, this generous God who gives over and over and over and over again. And he's saying in the midst of exile, he's saying in the midst of hardship, he's saying in the midst of failure, he's saying in the midst of just really, really hurt and just really loss, he's saying, hey, I need you guys and I need you gals to go comfort my people. And then he says the second imperative. And the second imperative is this. It says, speak kindly to Jerusalem. And I just want to tell you, literally, it means speak to the heart of Jerusalem. And in our New Testament times, when I think of Jerusalem, I think about the heart of God, and that's God's people. That's just God's people. When you come to New Testament and you see how he's made the two lumps into one, and you see how he's done this work, and it's not no longer by law, but now it's by grace. You're looking at this great God who's saying to the leadership, to the people of God, hey, speak to the heart of my people. Speak to their heart. And I got to thinking about over the last few weeks, well, what is at the heart of Jerusalem? What is at your heart? And it's interesting because I immediately thought of the great Psalm 122, verse 6, it's on the screen, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Right. I think that that's what we're supposed to pray physically, but I also think that this is a spiritual pointing to the heart of God's people forever. And may they prosper who love you. May shalom be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. And I was thinking about, as I thought about that verse in context of a historical context, but the spiritual context. Every one of you have come into this life with a fallen nature. Is that right? Separated from God. Is that right? And I want to tell you what the longing of every heart is. Shalom. It's the longing of every heart. Listen, I can point to you and just make it personal. And I just want to say, at the very heart of your life, the very desire of your heart is peace. Isn't that right? Don't you want peace in your life? Don't you want peace in your marriage? Why wasn't that as amen as amen? Don't you want peace for your children? Don't you want peace with God? Don't you want to just come to this place where you just know that no matter what's happening around your life, that my heart is at peace? Because why? That's at everyone's heart. It's what we lost in Eden. We lost the peace of God because of sin and fallenness. It's like the God-shaped hole that we talk about that only God can fill, but it's a God-shaped hole of peace. Shalom. Which has become one of my favorite words to pray. When I think about shalom and I look it up in a Hebrew dictionary, and the first thing it says is safe, secure, happy, healthy. Wow. Ease of being, ease of mind, ease of heart, prospering, fruitful in the things of God. I mean, it's like this multifaceted diamond that some of you have on your fingers that you just look at it one way. Oh, peace is security. And on the other side, it's being safe in God's arms. And the other way, it's being fruitful for the kingdom of God. And there's not one of you in here that when I made that list, it did not resonate with you that said, oh, that's what I want. I want to be safe. I want to be secure in God. I want to walk in a level of happiness that pleases God. I want to have this health in my heart, in my bones, in my mind, my body, my soul, so that I can love the Lord my God with all my heart, body, mind, and body and soul. I want to have this ease of being, this peace that surpasses all understanding in the midst. God, I want to be free from war. That's what peace also means. Free from war. You know, I look at the Psalms and I see David and I see these guys who've written these Psalms. And the Bible says in some places, like Psalm 91, there could be war all around him, but yet he's got this trust and this peace in his heart. It's what we all long for. You need to hear that today. I need to hear it because it's twofold. I need to be comforted. Listen, and I need to be the one who's giving comfort. I'm the one who needs to be spoken to my heart, by you or by anybody else, but I'm also the one that needs to be speaking it to somebody else. It's two important imperatives, and they're commands. But these commands aren't burdensome, folks. They're a joy when you get to speak the peace of God. The reconciliation power of God, that where we were separated from God, somebody came and gave us the ministry and the word of reconciliation, and our heart was reconciled, our sinful heart was reconciled to this perfect, pure, and holy God because someone gave us the word of reconciliation. They spoke to our heart of what we lacked and what we wanted, and how Jesus comes as the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace, to bring us peace. Two imperative words. Something that needs to be spoken to me, and something that I need to speak to you. Comfort my people. Comfort them. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. Speak to the heart of God's people. Listen, I just want to tell you, that's what we're all looking for, right? We're all looking for this kind of word. I mean, we can get into debate about second coming and prophecy and the prophetic thing that's going to happen. And we can talk about the tribulation and whatever the tribulation is from here to kingdom come. But will that ever bring you peace? Oh, there's some good things to talk about. But I want to tell you, that's not what what people need to hear initially. We need to hear the word of God that brings us peace, that brings us life. So there's two imperatives, but then there's three words. And I want to just kind of move through them really quickly. And so this is, everyone needs a word from God, right? A word of hope, a word of peace. And look at the first word he says to tell them. He says, you call out to her that her warfare has finished. The battle is over. Listen, there's some seasons in your life that you're glad to see are over. Amen? And some of you are in that season right now that you're at the cusp of coming out of it. And maybe you need to hear, hey, that season is ended. It's gone. It is done. There's a new season at your feet. There's a new season in your face. Forget about the old. Turn from it and face what God has for you today. Now, you know, I struggled with this one. I mean, I did. Because I know that Paul says that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We're still in a wrestling match. There's still spiritual warfare going over. So I want you to hear what I'm saying here. But folks, is it not in the context of the battle of God that, number one, it belongs to God? It's not your fight. It's God's fight. Very important. Yeah, I'm a part of it. Yeah, I'm in the middle of it, you know. Yeah, I've got these temptations and these things that God is that I'm still warring with. But you know, when I remember that, hey, this is not your fight, this is God's fight, and that he welcomes you into it and he arms you for it with weapons that are mighty in God for the destruction of fortresses, I get to this place in my life that says, ah, really, in the grand scheme of things, it's over. I mean, he's already told the enemy, you're finished. You're done, right? And so it's not your fight. It's God's fight. The second thing is I can't read that, so go to the next one, yeah. He does invite you. He does equip you. And he does, and there is this unusual and spiritual weapons to win Christ. And I'm going to tell you, he gives you that right now, right here. To be able to say no to sin, to be able to bring peace to people's lives, to walk in forgiveness, to get to this place where you are responding to God, where this peace of God is all over you. But you know, there's a third reason, I believe, your warfare's in it. Because of what Jesus did at the cross when he said, it is finished. I've paid the sacrifice. We know how it ends. And we're a part of that ending. We're a part of it today. It doesn't mean that I don't struggle, and it doesn't mean that I've got a battle here and a battle there, but I want to tell you, from God's perspective, it's done. And the question is will I walk in agreement with what God has said is done? That's the whole point of a battle. It's the whole point of God equipping you, that you're walking in victory in the midst of the junk of this world, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of strongholds. We know history's outcome, don't we? We know we win. Amen? And when I know I win, guess what? I have a confidence to win today and to win over the battle the next day. You know, some folks in history, good Christian people, good Christian study, folks who studied it. Some have called it the already and the not yet. Okay? It's already done, but yet not yet. Already and not yet. Does that make sense a little bit to you? Sometimes you just got to say it. Say it with me. Well, the already, and the not yet. Listen, folks, he's won the war. And I get to walk through it. I get to walk under it. I get to walk with him to see the victory of God. What do we tell people? Hey, your warfare's ended. Yeah, there's some things that you've got to do. There's some things that we've got to instruct people with. We've got to come against the lies of the enemy and speak the truth of God into people's hearts. But let me tell you what this good news is. It's over. He's done it. He's crushed the head of the enemy, and he's doing that in your life right now, right here. Second word. Second word is that your iniquity is removed. Your sins are removed. Notice what he says to people who've walked in sin. Notice what these people who have stiffened their neck, hardened their heart. What is he saying to them? He's bringing comfort. He's bringing peace. He's speaking to their heart right now, right here. And he has said, hey, your term is over. Exile is done. Exile is gone. It's over. It's over. The term of that punishment, that term of that discipline, it is gone. It is over. Your iniquity has been removed. Thank you. Aren't you glad? Why do I need to hear this today? Because the enemy loves to beat you up with stuff that you did 15, 20 years ago. And you need to be able to say, oh no, my term's over. My iniquity's been taken away by the blood of Jesus. And where he wants to make you guilty, where you're not guilty, where he's taken that sin on, where he's covered that sin with his blood and has washed you and taken your sin away. I mean, when John the Baptist sees Jesus after proclaiming what he's proclaiming, what does he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's what Jesus comes to do. We see it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He himself is the expiator, the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. And not only for ours only, but also for the whole world. And then he goes to 1 John 3, 5. And you know what he says there? He says, hey, we know that he appeared in order to take away your sins. Your iniquity is taken away. So when you're with somebody and you're bemoaning about the mistakes you made 3 weeks ago that you have ask God to forgive you of and that you have turned from. I'm going to tell you this. Those iniquities are taken away. When does God take away your iniquity? He does it like that. He doesn't say, okay, we're going to take a little bit away at a time. Okay, yeah. We're going to take 30% this year and 30% the next year this, and then we'll do the rest of it third year. Now he comes to take it away, folks. And you've got people in your life who are living under false guilt and false responsibility that God's already dealt with, who says your term is over and that iniquity has been taken away. And some of you in here need to hear that right now, right here. He's taken your iniquity away. Is that good news? Is that good news? Yeah. Well, I got one third one, and I love this one. God gives double blessing. Even in the midst of the consequences of all your sins. I want you to hear this for a moment. You know, it's interesting to me that there's some people in history who said that God gave Israel double punishment for all their sins. Yuck. Do you know why? If the first two are good news, why would the third be bad news? This is good news. And then you have a wealth of people who say, like Paul said, where he said in Romans 5:20, the law came, watch this, the law came so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Where sin increased, grace abounded more. Now he'll go on to say, hey, well, I'm not telling you to go live in sin so that grace would abound, okay? Not saying that, because that would just be a smack at the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Is that right? It would be. I had somebody tell me once that their teenage son said, Dad, don't worry about me. I'm just working on my testimony. Wow. And that dad said to him, oh, please don't tell me that. Because that's not what this is about. Of course, was said in tongue-in-cheek. You know, this law, this word here is not a loophole that you continue in your sin. It's just that when the moment that you find yourself in the pit of destruction and you find yourself in the midst of failure and at the bottom of where you are, my God comes along and says, hey, your term is ended. Your iniquity's taken away. And now wherever you had sin, I'm going to double the grace. I'm going to double the blessing. How many of you experienced that? Let me tell you, we all have. Because we need double grace. We need double mercy. We need it. And you know, I love this because grace is just not that warm, fuzzy feeling. Grace is the absolute total power of God that lets you deal along with Christ your sinfulness. It's the grace of God that empowers you to say no to sin and to live to God. It's the power of God to say no to the lies of the enemy in your heart and your mind and to say yes to the truth of God. And this is why grace abounds. And I love what he says in Isaiah 40 to a people in exile. Hey, I'm going to bring you back to this place. And for all that junk, I'm going to do a double blessing on you. Because I'm the God of double blessing, double grace, double mercy. Is this not good news? Is this not what we need to hear today? Some of you need to hear this with every fiber of your being. Because I want to tell you, when you go from Isaiah chapter 40 to chapter 66, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see Jesus on every page. You're going to see the blood of Jesus. You're going to see the cross of Jesus. You're going to see the victory of Jesus, everything that comes to do. Matter of fact, if you kept reading in Isaiah chapter 40, do you know what he says next in chapter 4? Hey, there's a voice crying in the wilderness. Make ready the way of the Lord. Who's that? That's John the Baptist. And then he says, and then the glory of God will appear. And who's that? That's Jesus. It's Jesus. The Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory. And that's what you're seeing in Isaiah chapter 40. You're seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Two imperatives. You comfort people around you. You bring comfort to them. You need to hear comfort and you need to give comfort. It's an imperative. And then the second is to speak to the heart of God's people. Yeah, this is when you speak to the heart of God's people, you're not speaking to something that they want to hear to get their ears tickled. You're speaking something that they need to hear. Your warfare is ended. Your term is ended. Your iniquity is taken away. And for all your sins, I got double blessing and double gifts for you. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for how it has encouraged me over the month. I thank you for how it's encouraged other people individually who need to hear one of these five words or all five of them. God, I want to pray that you would do such a work in our hearts and our lives that you would equip us, Lord, to be able to speak the wonderful promise of God and the wonderful gospel of God. Lord, everyone needs to hear from you. And these are 2, 3, 4, 5 words that some of us or all of us need to hear at some point in our life. And maybe it's just right now. And so I ask, Lord, that you'd speak to us. And this word would not return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire. And I want to thank you for how you're going to work and how you're going to move. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want you